This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. I've been
around the world. This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
And a very happy Saturday here on Joy 94.9. I'm Jody, and I'm on the Detour Show, and Greg, my co-host, is on his way. I hope he joins us soon. If you're listening on your iPhone app or something like that, tune in with us right up until 1 o'clock here on Joy. We always love to hear from you. You can SMS us 0427 Joy 949, or you can email on air at joy.org.au. Special thanks to our great newsreader, and fantastic work with Saturday Magazine, and special thanks to all our volunteers who make everything tick over beautifully here at Joy. I'd like to welcome some very special guests to the studio who are joining me here today. Of course, this is a travel show, and these two people know a bunch about travel. Every time I'm stalking them on Facebook, they're doing some amazing trip. And I'd like to welcome to the studio Steve and Chutisha Bowman, who run a range of organisations about building consciousness in governance, strategic planning, NGOs, and a whole bunch of things. But let me let them tell you more about what they do. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jody.
So, what have you been recently up to and in some of your travels?
We have a very fortunate life that enables us to travel around the world working with amazing organisations. And so in any one month, we'll either be somewhere in Australia or somewhere in the world working with what we would term as society-changing organisations. We've just come back from some trips around Australia. In 2 days' time, we're off on a six-week trip around the world, again, working with organisations and doing really interesting work, mainly at the board and the CEO level, and mainly with non-profit organisations or community-based organisations or organisations that truly want to make change in society. So that's essentially our business in a nutshell.
It's a great business to be in. I mean, working for a not-for-profit myself, I get a lot of inspiration and passion and vitality from meeting people like both of you who actually help build capacity in the sector. And that's actually how we met, when we were both working on a strategic plan for a not-for-profit that was in dire straits at the time, I recall.
Very true. A lot of what we find is that around the world, organisations are very similar in that, funnily enough, they're made up of people. And the people always have the same sort of issues. The fact that they only see life in one way, and that therefore creates how their organisation function. So the work that we do with organisations around the world is just to invite them to look at different possibilities. And we get them to look at, you know, what's it like to be the question? What's it like to look at things from the point of view of interesting point of view and everything? Sometimes we call it strategic planning. Sometimes we call it risk management. Sometimes we call it leadership. Sometimes we call it governance. But in the end, it's the same thing. Be willing to look at the world in a different way, and all of a sudden opportunities, which have always been there, you're actually willing to receive.
That's a good way to encapsulate what you both do. And Chutisha, tell me, what's your role and involvement in this amazing partnership that you both have?
Well, mainly I support Steve in everything he's doing to make him look good.
Fabulous.
And I create products, all the online products and all the marketing materials and everything to do with support Steve.
Fantastic.
And that ties in nicely with the global business, because it doesn't matter where in the world we are, we're always got access to creating new product, developing online. So a lot of our business these days now is also online. And what Chutisha is able to do is to challenge me in the way I look at the world, which then means that I use slightly different ways when I'm working with organisations. We often videotape or audiotape some of that, and from there create product. And that can be from Abu Dhabi, it can be from London, it can be from anywhere in the world. So we've created a business that actually is enables us to travel, but also the travel opens up our way of looking at the world as well, which then feeds into new product, which then feeds into new travel. It's just a very nice synergy.
And you were saying before that the commonality is that we're all people, but obviously there's cross-cultural differences in the communities you're working with across the world, and not-for-profits, and those communities have different challenges. I mean, if you look at Africa and famine and you know, major hardship, and then in other countries like in the US, major unemployment that impacts on poverty. So how do you... I guess, do you do research about those issues, or do you just go straight into the country and absorb?
We go straight into the country and absorb. Within about 30 seconds, you get a fair idea of where any one person's functioning from. And it's interesting because you talk about poverty and different countries and how they see things. What we find is it's more about how an individual sees the world that creates their reality around them. So when we go into any organisation or any country, there are people in no matter what community or whatever organisation, there are people who function from prosperity, people who function from scarcity. They may or may not have money. That's somewhat irrelevant. If they're functioning from prosperity, they actually are willing to look at all sorts of different opportunities. And this is one of the joys we have when we travel around the world, is that we see people, and people are people are people. And there are cultural differences, but those cultural differences are more to do with the contextual reality that we function in, rather than how they choose to see the world.
And the world is getting much smaller. There's so multicultural everywhere we go. You know, we just like, you just mixture of people, not just one race anymore.
Funny people are funny people. SOBs are SOBs. And it doesn't matter what culture they come from. You know, some people you just enjoy being with, even if you don't understand a word they're saying. And the same thing when we go to restaurants. I mean, one of our great joys in travelling, of course, is tasting all the different foods and going to the different restaurants. And as soon as you walk into a restaurant, you know whether it's going to be any good or not. And it's got nothing to do with the menu or the decor. It's got everything to do with the energy that you feel as soon as you walk in. And that's one of the greatest excitements we have when we travel. How do we choose where we stay? Well, it's got to be close to some good restaurants.
So how do you do all your research for the accommodation that you require? And is that part of your role, Chitisa?
That's part of my role.
She is so good at this.
I just love doing it. You know, it's a joy to actually choosing the accommodation ourselves. And it's like seeking. I try to change accommodation each time we go so I can actually experience. We can go to different area and meet different people and stay in different places. So it's a lot more fun. So I use the online just to do research.
I think it's interesting with online that it can sometimes be a little bit overwhelming about the choices and the availability of information about transport and travel and accommodation options. How do you narrow it down?
Well, I love reading people comment. And, you know, when you look at some accommodation, you might see 15 people saying wonderful things and give 9 out of 10, and you have 3 people had a really bad experience in giving, you know, 1 out of 10. And that's creating a space for me to ask, so what caused that? And a lot of times, you know that when you book accommodation, they always have different room types in that case. So those people who, you know, who mark 1 out of 10 and saying really bad things, obviously they got really bad room. And the one that give 9 out of 10, they get really good room. So that allow me to, when I book, I actually talk to them and say, okay, you have different type of rooms, so you know, what would it take for me to get a really good room, and what floor would it be, and you know, what's the number. So in that case, when I read the analysis or what people say, then allow me to talk to the hotel and ask different questions from them.
Really like a forensic accommodation expert. Mm.
She is so good at this. I would go absolutely crazy trying to do this. But she asks questions I don't even think of asking and gets this amazing, you know, we travel 5-star. I mean, what's that phrase? We only turn left, darling.
Well, so the only stars you sleep under are 5.
That's it. Pretty much.
So no camping for you, gals and boys. No.
But she is exactly that. She's a forensic specialist in this area because of the questions that she asks and her willingness to spend a bit of time looking to see what are the availability. And there's a lot of good websites that we use, some that we find easier than others. And 1 in 100 times, we don't get it right. But that's only 1 in 100 times.
Well, that's pretty bloody good. Thanks. And as you're talking, I was just reflecting on a fantastic guest we had on Detours on Joy a number of months ago, who was talking about his experiences of going to Egypt. And he was at the airport being touted accommodation left, right and centre. And he thought, oh, I looked at the picture, it looked fine. And he headed along to the hotel, and it was 4-star property. They had a pool that ticked his boxes of what he wanted. And when he wanted to go to the swimming pool, he and his partner were ushered down to the reception, and suddenly someone came out of the blue and said, oh, we'll take you. And they said, no, we can go ourselves. Just tell us where it is. No, please come with me. So what they did is actually go to level 3 and then went down the corridor and went into one of the hotel rooms, and they were looking around thinking there's no swimming pool. So then the concierge staff member actually lifted up the window and ushered them to push through to walk through to the hotel next door. So there actually wasn't a pool at their hotel, but you could access it through the hotel room.
Well, this is one of the things we've learnt over the years, is that we're very willing to go back. We'll see our room. We're very willing to go back down to reception and say, sorry, that doesn't work for us. Next, then what's plan B? So we've been known sometimes, not often, but every now and then, we'll have a look at 3 rooms before we actually agree that we'll stay in one. And by and large, the hotels are amazing. You know, some of the staff on there, if you get the right sort of staff person, a more aware staff person, they'll go out of their way to make the changes. So we've learnt to ask questions.
Yeah, I think it's the key thing is willingness to ask what else is possible, because they might give you a room, and a lot of times staff don't know the room. You know, they have no idea what it is. And if you don't like it, we always go and ask nicely, and we don't actually demand. And
one of the things we have a lot of fun doing is that sometimes when you walk into a hotel, the person behind the desk, you can tell they're scowling, even if there's a fixed smile on their face. So our job is to put a smile on their face, and it's not that hard to do. And once they're actually smiling all over, they'll move heaven and earth for you, and you've changed their day as well. And that's great fun, to be able to actually change someone's reality just by being who we are, having a bit of fun with it, and at the same time saying it's not working for us.
Well done. Well, I'm certainly going to be taking some notes throughout this program on how to be assertive when you're travelling. Stay with us right up to 1 o'clock here on Joy 94.9. This is Detours, and very shortly we'll be joined by Greg, our co-host. I'm Jody, and we're speaking at the moment today with Steve and Chutisa Bowman here on Joy 94.9.
It's the world's most uplifting station, Joy 94.9.
Keep us on air. Become a member today. Call 1-300-JOY-949.
And that fantastic track was It's Raining Men. And let's hope it's not raining men at Mardi Gras here this weekend. And that's by the Weather Girls here on Joy 94.9. This is Detours with Jody and joined by Greg. Welcome.
Good morning, Jody. Good morning, Teresa and Steve. It's fantastic. It's a great day here in Melbourne. A bit of rain, but nothing like they're going to experience at Mardi Gras. I think it's going to rain and trickle down all evening. They've had 5.5 solid days of rain in Sydney.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, that's going to play havoc with the feathers and glitter.
But we have our own party and celebration happening the following weekend, and on the 11th of March you too can join us at Joy as we go to chill out at Daylesford. There's double pass going on Detours today, Jody. Well, we won't get you to ring just yet. You have to stay with us and we'll tell you when to ring. But it's carnival time at Chill Out, and you too can have a double pass to Chill Out Carnival Day 2012, thanks to the Chill Out Festival. Bring your friends, family and loved ones, and don't forget your puppy, because it's a great dog show, which my Wilson, Chong Hin's Wilson at the time, almost made it through to the final of the dog show at Chill Out Carnival.
Everybody has different hobbies, don't they?
It's great.
Don't really get that, but never mind.
Stay with us. We'll tell you how to win that bit later.
We sure will. And you've been listening to Detours. We're with you right till 1 o'clock here on Joy. Our special guests are Steve and Chutisa Bowman. And we've been talking about travel, of course, because that's pretty much what we're into. We were talking before, Chutisa, about the research that you do and then talking about how important it is to have those connections with people in a genuine and conscious, aware way to enhance your own experience, but obviously theirs as well. Tell us more about that.
We find often that when you go into a hotel or even the check-in counter at the airport, you can pretty much tell what sort of day that person's had. And we were talking before, that's often to do with the people that have come in before them and the fact they've been hassled and having to deal with all sorts of, you know, what are to some people major issues, and of course their day is just going downhill from there. So we have great fun actually changing their point of view of the world in that point of time. And what we do is we'll often say things or have a joke with them or just be the question ourselves. It actually opens them up to realise that life's not as sucky as they think it is at that point in time. We remember one of the places we were at not long ago in Mooloolaba, and the guy there was, you know, he'd been having a tough time. They'd had a whole lot of teenagers in there, and they were having to deal with some of the issues with the teenagers and whatnot. Anyway, we came out there, and Chitissa, and he'd done something really nice for us, and Chitissa just said to him, "We love you," and it just took him aback. I don't think anyone had ever said that to him. And you could feel his whole world lighten up. There was a smile on his face. And this is you know, early 50s, mid-50s sort of guy. His whole face lightened up. Every time we saw him after that, he grinned, he beamed, and it was very hard for him to get back down to that you know, life sucks sort of thing. He even introduced his wife to us and said, "These are the people who said they loved me." So just something little, you know, little things like that just not only make their day, and it's wonderful where you can actually change someone's world like that, but it also puts you in a space too where you realise that your gift to the world is who you choose to be.
But when you're a traveller, a five-star traveller, a set of travellers as you two are, when you return again, when you establish that bond and you return to a place and they recognise you as a return customer, you become a valuable asset to a hotel chain.
And they love us too.
Yeah, and they actually love you for a number of reasons, because you present as you do and you respect them as people. But you also keep their jobs intact and secure. They have to have a certain return rate, reduce that churn in hotels and keep the hotel rooms as full as possible with nice customers, or else they lose their jobs. It's actually their lives that you're impacting.
That's part of it. I think the other part too is that we don't often return to the same hotel all the time because we travel so much. We like having different experiences. We've written a range of different books, and what we'll often do is with someone that we think, oh, this might be interesting, we'll actually leave them a book as a gift.
Oh, that's great.
And just lovely. Yeah, just little things like that that make them realise that not everyone's a bastard.
Do you ever mention people in books? Do you ever come across characters that work at hotels and they suddenly make it into the page?
Not really. We change name to be on the safe side. We don't try to mention anyone or anything by name. And like Steve said, that we like to change accommodation to different places. But every now and then we will return back to the one that we really, really like and, you know, and connect with people again. So
that one in Mooloolaba, we've been back there 4 times now. It's just like old home week. It's very nice to be able to do that. But the same sort of thing when you're checking into the airlines, you can pretty much pick up when you're about 3 people away from that counter what sort of day that person's had behind the counter. And again, one of our great joys is to, you know, just see if we can change their world by a couple of words that we might say or something that happens there. And it's amazing how people will go, and we're not doing it for any reason other than we can, with no expectation of anything.
Well, there's a side benefit, though. Occasionally you'll get bumped up in seats, won't you?
Well, you very seldom get bumped up these days, but what often happens is they'll say, "Oh, look, there's a couple of window seats. Would you like those?" Or, "What about long leg room? You haven't asked for it, but I do have..." So it's amazing what happens. But if you expect that, you'll never get it. If it's a possibility, then that's quite different again.
And with some people, you never change them, you know. So you have to be willing to know that, okay, this is the one that you will not be able to make them happier or anything, so you have to let go.
I'd like to explore a little bit about some of the destinations you've been to. Obviously, with such a busy schedule of global travel, is it where the work takes you, or do you have pleasure trips as well?
It's all work, he says, winking. We actually create work wherever we go. So sometimes we'll get invited to countries. Sometimes we'll go to a country and actually create the work there. The nature of our business is that it's pretty much doesn't matter where in the world we are. It'll either be some client face-to-face, or we might, for example, we're off in 2 days' time to spend some time in Italy, where we're presenting to a large international group over there. And we're also going to Cinque Terre to just experience the experience there. And from there, we'll probably, I don't know, write a book, do a blog, maybe do some Facebook stuff. So no matter where in the world we are, yeah, have iPad, have iPhone, have laptop, have business.
Brilliant. Have brilliant lives around that whole experience.
Well, yeah, we've often been asked, yeah, don't we find travel boring or tiring? And the way I describe it very much is, look, we get to travel the world. I get to travel the world with a beautiful woman. I've been married 36 years. Each year is getting even better. We get paid a lot of money to do this sort of work. We get to see exotic people and have an awful lot of fun. Which part of that is tiring? Sorry, I don't quite get that.
Now, how about some bouncing of some brilliant exotic locations that you might have been to or visited that Stephen Chutissa might not have heard or may have heard? 0427 JOY 949. If you're ringing and listening from overseas, it's +61 427 569 949, or on air at joy.org.au. You're on Detours with Jody and Greg and Chutissa and Steve Bowman.
Melbourne's most uplifting station is about to take you to new heights. Joy 94.9.
The 2012 TAC Summer of Joy.
If it's tired, boring music you're looking for, you've come to the wrong station. Joy 94.9. Now playing the hottest new music first.
And you're listening to Joy 94.9. I'm Jody, joined by Greg, and this is Detours, with you right up to 1 o'clock. And that great track there was Thelma Houston, Don't Leave Me This Way. Now, joining us on the phone is Georgia Ride, who is the program manager for IWDA. Are you there at the moment, Georgia?
I am.
Terrific.
Hi.
Thank you very much for joining us today. So you're the program manager for Timor-Leste, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
And how did you become, well, tell us firstly, what is IWDA? Because I'm using an abbreviation that not everybody
sure.
might know.
Yes. So IWDA stands for International Women's Development Agency. And we work in partnership with predominantly women's-led or women's-focused organisations in the Asia-Pacific region, really with the purpose of advancing women's rights and gender equality.
Now, Georgia, Greg here, I'm very interested to know, when independence was gained and self-sufficiency and government happened and the United Nations helped stabilise the country, a lot of Timor-Leste people living here in Australia returned home. Young people that were born here or young people that had made their way here that then had skills, and they all started flocking home to help develop and grow their country. Have you been working with them, and how do you establish networks with people such as those?
I mean, I guess being based back in Melbourne, we've definitely, form a lot of links with the Timorese networks here in Australia. And particularly, I think there's a lot of friendship committees that have established that sort of built on really that strong connection during resistance and up until independence of Australians and Timorese in Australia working with Timorese back in Timor. So we definitely work a lot with those. As well as working with Timorese in Timor, those who left and came back and those who struggled throughout resistance and stayed and, everyone, I guess.
And Georgia, what are some of the programs that International Women's Development Agency work on with women and their communities in the Timor area?
At the moment, we're working with two local organisations, one in Bobonaro, which is on the border with Indonesia, and one in Swai, which is down south of the country. And we're working with those organisations to support women in rural areas to gain increased access and control of income. So at the moment they're doing that by supporting women's groups to develop small income generation activities. So it might be producing local food products like tempeh, tofu, or raising chickens, or handicrafts, I guess is the other big area, and then providing that ongoing support to them in financial management, leadership, teamwork, linking them up with microfinance institutions if they're ready, or starting small savings and loan clubs within their groups.
Now, if women spend their whole lives as factories for producing children, they get very little time to have economic self-worth and have lives. How do you then work with agencies that do family planning, sexual health, and give women the freedom to explore their economic benefit to their society?
Yeah, so we do work a lot. There are a number of agencies in Timor working specifically in that area, as well as the government itself. So we would often collaborate with them, and often, I guess, you know, if an organisation, if we have a presence and we have relationships with those women in the and those women's groups in the community, you know, often that's also a good opportunity for those other agencies to come in and provide training or provide information about services they can access. So, yeah, there is a lot of collaboration.
Terrific work that you and your organisation do in lots of communities in the Asia-Pacific region, Georgia. And just lastly, I understand that you've got an event coming up for the International Women's Day, which is coming up very soon.
We do. It's very exciting. March the 8th is International Women's Day, as you said, so cause for celebration. And we're going to be having a benefit concert called Half the Sky. So we're bringing together a whole host of musicians and comedians and cabaret artists, to as well as some of representatives from our partner organisations who've come out from the Asia Pacific, to, yeah, I guess, you know, celebrate the achievements of women, and I guess also acknowledge that there's still a way to go.
Well, congratulations, and I'm going to be wearing my This Is What a Feminist Looks Like t-shirt in celebration of your event too, so good luck.
Thank you for joining us, Georgia, and keep up the great work. If people would like more information about that, they can go to iwda.org.au. And we've been speaking with Georgia Ride, who's the Program Manager for Timor-Leste. Thanks for joining us, Georgia. Have a great weekend.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Now, talking about International Women's Day, which is coming up next week, this Sunday from 4 p.m, Joy 94.9 is celebrating International Women's Day, which is called Joy for IWDA. IWD, no way, sorry, a showcase of local music and a great Joy fundraiser at the Evelyn Hotel in Fitzroy. And that's featuring Jenny Biddle, the Gracemakers, Emma Bryce and more. And plus, everyone who attends will go into the draw to win a double pass to that fantastic concert we were just talking about, Half the Sky.
Brilliant.
With IWDA, and that's valued at $120. Tickets are only $10 on sale at joy.org.au or purchased at the door this Sunday from 4 p.m. at Evelyn Hotel, 351 Brunswick Street, Fitzroy.
Brilliant. And it's not just a chance for women to go along, and it's men to show solidarity, because most violence against women takes place by men. So it's us taking a stand and saying we're not going to be part of this anymore.
And International Development... I'm getting my developments and Women's Days all mixed up today. The International Women's Day theme for 2012 is Connecting Girls, Inspiring Futures. And two people who inspire futures and connect using social media while they travel is Steve Bowman and Chitissa Bowman. And so we've been talking about your travels for work and pleasure. How do you keep connected using social media?
It's interesting when we look at social media, because we use it quite differently to how most people. So we're connected through Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and TweetDeck, and yeah, it can go on and on and on. But what's really interesting is that what we use it for is to just put up interesting information that we've come across that people may not be aware of. And interspersed with that is, you know, just the odd comment about which part of the world we happen to be in. And it's amazing when we do public programs, these masterclasses we run around the world, there'll always be two or three people come up to me at some stage during the day and say, oh, I read when you were in the middle of the rainforest in Costa Rica that you were doing this, and I'm in the middle of New South Wales somewhere. So it's just interesting how people actually take an interest in something that's a little bit exotic. So, you know, we'll do a short tweet that we happen to be in one of the provinces of France doing something or other. And then another time we'll do it that we're in Italy talking to Democrats abroad or whatever it might be. And it's amazing how many people actually read it. The other thing that we find very, very interesting for those who run a business is the use of Google Calendar. So we have Google Calendar on our website, which is consciousgovernance.com, and you look up about us, and then you scroll down a little bit and you see a little heading that says, where in the world are the two Bowmans? And then there's Google Calendar. And We get people now calling us up saying, look, we know you're going to be in America on such and such a date. Can we catch up?
Oh, brilliant. That's great that. Stuff. Yeah, how to connect people. And your use of technology, that's just awesome. It's a bit of a leader in tourism and travel. But what happens when you travel to countries where there's a wall or a firewall or a block or you can't communicate as freely?
Well, there's two ways that occurs. Sometimes there's some countries that actually block your ability to use Skype or your ability to use YouTube. And it's pretty easy to find out. First of all, when you try it, it doesn't work. And once you've gone through what's wrong with my computer, you then do a little bit of a search and you find out that in Abu Dhabi, for example, you can't use you can't get access to YouTube, and that when you use Skype, people can hear you, but you can't hear them.
In Dubai in particular,
it was interesting. Mm-hmm. It'd be a fabulous high-speed internet connection, just a shame you can't use it for all the things. But it's interesting because there's also, you know, it's not that hard to get onto Google to find workarounds for all of those things. So if you do need to actually use them and work around them, you just, you know, you go into Google and you type in, you know, can't get Skype in Dubai, and then you can spend the next hour reading all the workarounds about how to go about it. But the interesting thing for us is we travel, you know, we live in Melbourne. We're here probably 2 months of the year at the most. We're in Australia probably about 5 or 6 months, and then around the world the rest of the... But it's interesting. I don't know if I should say this or not, but you know, the very worst area that we've found to get good internet connection is Sydney.
Boom.
Yes. Coming back, talking about Skype, though, the key things is like when we were in Dubai and we were talking and we had Skype on and we thought it's not working, and everyone else from the other side can hear everything we said. So the key thing is to make sure that if you don't hear them, doesn't mean that they don't actually hear you. So be really careful about what you say.
That could be quite difficult. I always, in any organisation I work, always impress upon our staff and volunteers that customer service is all the time. And there have been times where people might, you know, think they've put the phone down properly and, you know, sort of muttered under their breath something about the person they spoke to, and they've been able to hear them, or sending an email, you know, a nasty email about a particular person, but doing reply all, and that person seeing it. So in my mind, there's never any room for that because it's just bad karma. Just be nice, sort it out, or keep it to yourself.
Now, the latest emerging things, Google Plus. Have you guys hit the Google Plus platform?
We have a little bit. It enables us to keep a whole lot of things connected together. It's still for me, it's still a wait and see on that one. Yeah, the things that we use the most are Facebook, Twitter, Google Calendar, and then there's all sorts of applications you've got that can actually help. You know, Foursquare.
Isn't Foursquare fun? I love Foursquare.
Oh, do you know what's even better than Foursquare?
What?
Foursquare Wi-Fi. Have you seen that one?
No, that's Foursquare very Wi-Fi. Cool.
What that does is it collects all the information of all the people that have been on Foursquare that have mentioned Wi-Fi and puts it all into one app so that you can actually type, you can actually ask it to find out all those venues that are close to you that have free Wi-Fi.
So if you're listening and you're not really sure what Foursquare is, can someone describe it?
I ask you to email onair@joy.org.au right now. We'll actually even put you in the competition for the double pass to chill out. If you can tell us what Foursquare is and what the application does, you can win this double pass for chill out on Sunday the 11th, Sunday the 12th March. Where are we now? March. Next Sunday, tomorrow week. So get on the phones now, 0427. Joy949 is our SMS, but don't use that. We want you to ring 1300 569 949. That's 1300 Joy949. Ring now, get your double pass for Chill Out Festival.
And you must be a member, and you mustn't have won a prize in the last 2 weeks. Let's talk about some of the destinations you've got coming up. So very shortly, Chitisa, you're going on the jet plane to Sydney this afternoon to spend some lovely time with your daughter.
Yes, we're going to have mother-daughter week, and I'm taking her to see Love Never Die in
great.
Sydney, and then we're just going to spend the night there, and then tomorrow just going to the rocks, going shopping. Hopefully that we don't have rain.
Because I'm strategic planning in Canberra.
Fabulous.
Yes.
and then you've got a trip to Italy coming up as well as the next destination?
Yeah, we're leaving on Tuesday night. We're going to Doha for a night. Someone recommended that we should go and camping with the...
Camping out with the Bedouins. I think we're busy.
Yeah. And then we're going to Milan and then
Torino. Then Cinque Terre, Venice.
I am coming in your suitcase. I'll tell you, I'll carry it or I'll hide in there, but you must have... Do you carry lots of luggage to these exotic locations?
Oh, we are so good at luggage now.
Tell us about that.
Well, I've got it down to... Because I'm a male, it's a little bit different. But I've got it down now to... if I wanted to, for about 2 or 3 weeks, I could do carry-on. And you know, it's simple little things like your toiletry bag. You have a separate one for travel, so you don't need to do it. You just need to pack it. You don't need to actually put things in it. It's just there always. So because we travel so much, it's just something that automatically goes into the luggage. Chitissa and I then usually have, depending on, 1 or 2 suitcases, but we make sure that we pack because we know that, you know, and Australians may not know this, but when you're travelling overseas, cold overseas is a lot different than cold in Australia. Like, cold overseas is bloody cold.
Yeah, a lot of thermal underwear this trip, I think.
Yeah, that does the trick because at least, you've got that underneath and then you can put layers on top.
I've just had the vision, Chitissa and Steve, the vision of you in your hotel, your 5-star hotel rooms, but with your thermals washed and hanging over the shower rails. Tell me that's not true.
I'll send you a photo.
Do you? Seriously?
We do. Well, the first time that we encountered thermal underwear was we were in New York and it was -10 degrees or something. I had my thermal, but Steve didn't.
So I walked out the front of the hotel, spent 2 minutes outside, and I said, this is too cold for me.
Wearing his Melbourne outfit.
Wearing my Melbourne warm outfit. So I walked back into the hotel and said, I'm not going out. So she went walking in her thermals to get me a pair of thermals so at least we could get outside in the cold.
Now, coming up on the hour is Pete Dillon with Cravings. If you haven't heard this, because I know you travel 5-star around the world, you've had meals in exotic locations, but Pete Dillon is the man that can tell you where the exotic locations are in Melbourne.
Oh, the exotic locations are right here in this studio today. Max Allen is joining me. We're talking all about wine today. Wine, 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 wine. Max Allen, Lady Muck, Caroline Tunnell-Jones is my co-host. And we'll also be talking to Steve Pannell, who's going to be somewhere in a vineyard in the Adelaide Hills in the middle of vintage. I shall also be doing crosses on the half hour to our fabulous team in Sydney,
who are about to get on the phone in just a couple of minutes.
Leading up to the Mardi Gras broadcast. And between 6 and 7, we'll present the Hour of Power with an hour of Mardi Gras anthems prior to the broadcast starting. So I'm basically with you between 1 and 7.
Now, if you've got any costumes you're wearing in your lounge rooms today for listening to Mardi Gras on Joy, why don't you text in to Pete Dillon this afternoon? He'd love to know what you're wearing for the Mardi Gras broadcast. And you can tweet
Dillon Pete.
Oh, at Dillon Pete.
That's it.
At Dillon Pete. Tell people what you're wearing or what you're not wearing. Dress up, dress down. Just dress gorgeous for Mardi Gras.
Yeah, don't send us pics, though, if you're dressing down. Keep it clean. This is a daytime program. Now, a special thanks and congratulations to Gavin from Thornbury, who has won the fantastic prize, which is to chill out in Daylesford, which will be Sunday next week. And, of course, the Joy will have a great presence there. It's a fantastic event in regional Victoria. Go and support it. And he answered the prize, the question to the prize, which is what is Foursquare? Well, it's an online app to help you identify where other people are and events and locations.
And you can become, if you're there often enough, you can become the mayor of the location, which is fabulous. So, Steve, where are you the mayor of on Foursquare?
Oh, alphabetically or by country?
By country. You must have a few mayoralships on
Foursquare.
There's
a few mayoralships, yeah.
It's one of those things where you get to interact with not just your own friends, but people that doing the same thing and you've never connected with before. And sometimes you bump into them as well in those locations.
It's very funny where you find. In fact, the most recent one, I think, was a certain lady by the name of Jodie Wilmer, who was at Flinders Street Station, I think, was the last one I saw.
Yeah, I live the high life. No, you watch next week. I'll be in Malaysia, so you can check that out. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to be speaking with Andrew Thorpe, who's our roving reporter in Sydney for Mardi Gras from Joy. And in a few minutes... we'll speak with him and we'll have some announcements just before then.
So stay with us here on Detours, Joy 94.9 with Jodie and Greg.
Hello, this is Alison Moyer. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Now, you're on Detours with Jodie and Greg, guest Steve and Chitissa Bowman. But we've found a tunnel through the internet directly to our embedded reporter in at today's Mardi Gras Festival in Sydney. Andrew Thorpe, hidden away in Sydney, pretending not to be a Melbourne boy. Hello, how are you?
Good afternoon, Greg. How's it going?
How's it all shaping up for Mardi Gras in Sydney?
It's fantastic. It's just down on Oxford Street at the moment. It's starting to bustle already. It's very busy down here. And, there's lots of people milling around getting ready for a big evening.
Now, are you dressing up or dressing down, Andrew?
Dressing down, just myself. It's we're going to be very busy tonight. Of course, Joy 94.9 is broadcasting from 7 p.m. and right through until the end of the parade, whenever that happens to be, 11 midnight, something like that. And I'll be a bit busy to dress up.
Well, do you know, people are busy listening or preparing to listen and celebrate at home, listening to Joy at the broadcast, and they're all going to be dressing up or dressing down and sending messages to Pete Dillon this afternoon about what they're wearing or not wearing.
Exactly. Pete's thankfully there in the studio holding the fort, while most of the guys in Melbourne seem to be up here.
Well, have a fantastic time. Enjoy, stay safe, and happy Mardi Gras.
Happy Mardi Gras, Andrew.
Happy Mardi Gras.
Thank you.
That's Andrew Thorpe, our embedded reporter in Sydney, pretending not to be a Melbourne boy.
Oh, now we've got a few minutes before we have to unfortunately finish, and then we'll have the news here on Joy at 1 o'clock. And Steve and Chitidze, it's been fabulous to speak with you today, and thank you for all your sharing of your stories. And what handy hints would you leave our listeners about travel?
Oh, pack light, first one, and make it really easy. I've got it down now about 15 to 20 minutes before I need to is about all it takes to pack now. And then the other thing is thoroughly enjoy it. And even if you're not yet, act as if you were a 5-star traveller.
Exactly right. If you put it out there, the universe returns in abundance, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And we're all human beings. We want to get so much of our travels. If it's your first or your 50th or 500th trip, make it one of those moments.
And always be nice to people, because they will be nice back to you. That's the most important tips.
One of the gifts we find is that as we travel, we change our world and other people's worlds. And if you're aware of that and you're aware of how you do change people just by being who you are, it makes travel not travel. It makes travel actually an experience.
Now, what's your Twitter handle?
Twitter is ConsciousGovern. Website is conscious-governance.com. We've just launched a new book, and that's got a website now called nomoreasusual.com.
And we'll put all those things on the Detours Facebook page and through our Twitter. Thank you very much for joining us, Jatissa and Steve. It's been a pleasure. And we'll put the podcast up later today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. And coming up shortly will be the news. We'll be back again next Saturday at 12 noon. Well, in fact, I won't be. I'll be on a jet plane to Malaysia, but I'll tune in and I'll listen online using the website.
We'll put an airport announcement out. Would Jodie Wilmer please come and take this call? You've been on Detours with Jodie and Greg. Happy Mardi Gras, Jodie.
Happy Mardi Gras, Greg.
Get more of the fresh new sounds from around the world. Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.